This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. The coronation of Britain's King Charles is underway in London, and fans gathered early.
Part of history, isn't it? So to be part of this event is just, it's once in a lifetime, really. So we got up at 3 a.m. to get here for 7 to get the spot.
Not everyone is into the coronation. Hundreds of protesters gathered at Trafalgar Square ahead of today's events and shouted, "Not my king." Colin Deer was among them.
I don't believe in hereditary monarchy, and I think this is costing a huge amount of money when lots of people are struggling and the economy is falling apart and the public services are awful, and we need to invest in that and not in Charles and his big party.
Congressional Republicans are meeting with President Biden at the White House Tuesday to discuss the debt ceiling.
On MSNBC, President Biden said there will be serious consequences if the U.S. can't pay the bills.
The United States of America is going to renege for the first time in history on its debt.
When asked if Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy's an honest broker,
I think he's an honest man. I think he's in a position, though, he had to make a deal.
That's CBS's Stacey Lynn reporting. Millions of Americans will soon get back some money from TurboTax. Here's CBS's Jim Krasula.
It was part of a legal settlement reached last year. TurboTax's owner, Intuit Incorporated, was ordered to pay $141 million to low-income customers who were deceived into paying TurboTax to file their federal returns, even though they were eligible for free, federally supported tax services. Checks to more than 4 million Americans eligible for restitution payments will be mailed out starting next week.
The Supreme Court has stayed the execution of Oklahoma death row inmate Richard Glossop. More from Loyola Law Professor Lori Levinson.
After 26 years behind bars, he has been facing execution. But both the prosecution, the state of Oklahoma, and the defense agree they have real questions about whether he's even guilty of this crime.
Attorneys for writer E. Jean Carroll have released the deposition video of former President Trump in his rape trial. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Former President Donald Trump's attorney says Trump isn't planning to take the stand in his own defense. So a 48-minute videotaped deposition, maybe all the jurors hear from Trump about the accusations he raped writer E. Jean Carroll in a department store dressing room in the mid-90s.
Talks are underway in Saudi Arabia between Sudan's rival militaries. The BBC's Grant Ferret has more.
The discussions are officially described as pre-negotiation talks. According to the Sudanese army, they'll focus on the idea of humanitarian corridors, as well as protecting civilian infrastructure, such as hospitals.
This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The federal infrastructure law has been in effect for a year now. Community leaders around Wisconsin are optimistic about badly needed repairs and improvements. Here's Mike Moen.
At the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, Zach Brewing says so far nearly $3 billion in projects have been announced with funding from the law. Most are transportation related, and Brewing says it's badly needed as many areas have backlogs for priorities like road and bridge repairs.
And so by having a real strong federal partnership in the area of infrastructure helps address some of the backlog.
The law will also provide states funding for clean water infrastructure and expansion of high-speed internet. The plan did have some Republican opposition, but has otherwise been hailed by political analysts as a bipartisan achievement. Despite the significance of the law, some of those analysts say it hasn't stayed on the public's radar, especially during the recent election. But supporters are still getting the word out. Megan Rowe is with Opportunity Wisconsin, which has spent the last year educating communities about the benefits of these projects.
Whether we're spending less on car repairs due to updated roads and bridges, having access to safe drinking water or improved mass transit opportunities, this law is a once-in-a-generation investment in our state's infrastructure and competitiveness.
And as more projects are announced, Rowe says it means additional well-paid union jobs for distressed areas. She says the long-term benefits from various improvements should particularly help rural areas and underserved communities. An interactive online map from the White House shows the projects so far are spread fairly evenly across Wisconsin. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
Don't you deserve a job you love? Civic Media is preserving hometown radio, broadcasting from main streets across Wisconsin, and we're hiring radio advertising sales professionals to join our rapidly growing network of local radio stations. If you have a connection to your community, prior sales experience, and want to earn an outstanding living where you and your hard work is appreciated, you should apply right now. Find more information on our website, civicmedia.us. Click on the Careers tab.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Have a good day.
Listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, where we uplift caregivers through education and support while also lifting up their invaluable role in society. I'm Liza.
And I'm Kristen.
And together we are the Empowered Caregivers.
Today we're going to be spending time on a topic we have been wanting to talk about for months, the paid caregiver crisis. This is different from the family caregiver crisis, but they are very intertwined. It's important for us to distinguish them, though, so that we can make really concerted and effective advocacy efforts. So we are joined tonight with an expert on this topic, Beth Swedeen, the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities.
Yes, and thank you, Beth, for joining us today. Before we dig in, I just want to share a few startling statistics, because I'm all about those darn statistics, regarding the paid caregiver profession and why everyone, regardless if you're a caregiver or not, should be concerned about this. And the first is, in 2022, 28% of residential family caregiver positions were left unfilled.
I'm going to just correct you, Liza. It wasn't family. It's 28% of
resident facility
caregiver positions. So just to help people understand, that means if you've got somebody who you want in a nursing home or an assisted living or one of those rehab places, 28% of those positions are empty right now.
Yes, my bad. And when you compare that to the 3.5% current unemployment rate nationally, it's alarming.
Yeah.
And the other is 18,000 Wisconsinites sought services from a long-term care facility but were denied or delayed due to staff shortages. So could you imagine being in the position where you needed care and they say, get in line, there's only 17,999 people behind you.
I know, exactly. It's shocking.
It is. And on that note, I want to welcome Beth Swedeen from the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities, who has been a leader in the state for advocating on this issue. Beth, those statistics are alarming to everyone. Can you tell listeners why this is a societal issue that everyone, regardless if they're a family caregiver or not, needs to get behind?
Sure. Thanks, Liza and Kristen, for having me on your show and for shining a spotlight on this really, it's a crisis that has hit Wisconsin, but is hitting our country nationally. And quite frankly, it has to do with the fact that more and more people in our country and in Wisconsin need care every year, and the labor market isn't keeping pace. So we just don't have enough of those working age people, 18 to 59, who can support, you know, not just older adults, but people, children with disabilities and children and adults with disabilities and others. So there, it's a very mixed population. In my field, people with disabilities are living much longer than they ever have before. And so they're going to need a lifetime of care, you know, or support. So maybe from childhood on into their 70s. So that's something that our society just has not set itself up to do. So that's the problem. And then on some of the things that you talked about, the wages, the benefits, the lack of status, the social isolation of being a caregiver, you know, in someone's home where you don't have colleagues and you don't have camaraderie, all of those contribute. Just to add to the statistics, in-home workers in Wisconsin make $13.53 an hour on average. So $3 to $4 less than retail right now. And 40% have some sort of benefit, and that's it. So wow. Less than half have benefits.
Ouch.
So I think, you know, that's a perfect storm to show what a crisis we're in.
Definitely. And before we talk more about the crisis, I want to just back up a step and have you explain to listeners what the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities is, how it's funded, and what your specific role is in it, Beth.
Sure. Thanks for that question. We are federally mandated through a piece of legislation called the Developmental Disabilities Act that was signed into law by John Kennedy to look after the best interests of and advocate for people with the most significant disabilities in the state. So there is a border council like ours in every state and territory, and they get a small amount of dollars from the federal government. And then our board and every council is, those members are people living with lived experience with disability. So we have a board of about 32 people, 26 were appointed by the governor, and they're living with disability or are a caregiver or family member of someone with a disability. We're charted with going out across the state, figuring out what the biggest issues and problems are, and then developing a plan, and then using advocacy and pilot projects like small grants, innovation things to test new ways to do things, and then advocate and serve as a policy advisor for the governor, the legislature, and state agencies.
Wow.
So it's kind of a big role.
I was going to say, it doesn't sound like you have much to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have a small staff of 7 full-time people. But really, you know, our volunteer board members, they're the ones pounding the pavement in the communities and coming back to us and telling, you know, us what is most important. And this caregiver crisis is at the top of the list throughout the state.
Definitely. Well, and as the executive director of that, Beth, I just want to thank you from a personal standpoint, because with a daughter with developmental disabilities, I have benefited directly, as has Nicole, from the board and its work and yours individually.
Same.
Well, thank you.
Yes, same. And I just wanted to clarify for listeners, because you are a part of an organization that serves people with disabilities, that this issue that we're talking about, the caregiver crisis, impacts all people requiring care. They may rely on paid caregiver support, such as elder care, those with chronic health conditions, veterans. I mean, you could even throw child care in the mix, correct?
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, for sure.
So all of this is just different people that are getting impacted by the fact that they need some additional support. And for a long time, that was a family member, right? But as you pointed out, we didn't have people with developmental disabilities living as long as they are today. We didn't have people in general living as long as they are today. So what was a family role that would be a much shorter role back, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, definitely 20 years ago, is now getting extended longer and longer and longer. The family can't respond to it. And so what we're trying to talk about here is that people then were hiring folks in the last, I don't know, what do we want to say, decade or two? But now that role is not something, that job, I guess, is something that's so hard to fill because of some of the stuff you've already touched on.
And I would add to that too, that there was the role has changed through the years, I would think, to some degree, right? The amount of medical care, the amount of involvement, you know, it just seems much more intense, complex than it was in decades past.
Right. And if you want to do a historical perspective, you know, 50, 60 years ago, we had 10,000 people with disabilities living in institutions. And so that was part of the reason they weren't living very long, quite frankly, was because the institutional care was not supportive of, you know, a vibrant life or even the basics, right? And so there weren't as many families caring for people because they were told by medical professionals to put their loved one in an institution. So we have that sort of dark chapter in every state's history. But I think, you know, to your point of who's impacted by this, yes, there are, we know 90-year-old caregivers who are caring for a 65-year-old son or daughter with a disability. We also, though, know, you know, a lot of people in their 30s and 40s who are caring for children with disabilities, even young children, and they're also caring for their aging parents. Mm-hmm. So there, this just hits so many different people. And, you know, it really gets to the heart of Wisconsin, whether we want to have livable communities or not, because as so many people are assuming caregiving roles, they're leaving the market, the job market. And we just did a survey with the Survival Coalition of 20 disability organizations. The data is just in, 270 people responded. And I think it was 63% have reduced their work. Their professional work, so or quit entirely. So this is, you know, employers are saying we can't find talented people. We have seven people on our staff. We just lost somebody to a caregiving issue. Wow. So it's a crisis in their own family and they had to leave. So this is hitting everybody. It's not just the families who have that loved one. It is an economic issue. It's a social issue. It's a justice issue.
Great point. Great point. And I know that one of the things I want to make sure is clear for our audience is the use of language, right? And so when we're talking about a family caregiver, we're talking about somebody who's taking care of someone who's in their family, right? They may or may not get paid, most of the time not. But tonight, what we're asking for you to give us insight on is the paid caregiver. And I know there are words that are used like home health care provider, respite provider, direct care worker. When we're talking about the paid caregiver crisis, can you explain some of these different roles being referred to?
Right. So most people with disabilities and older adults want to stay in their homes and their communities, right? Like they don't want to go into a nursing home or an institution if they don't have to. And so many of the supports over the last couple decades have really altered to be able to support that kind of lifestyle. So we're talking about people who may come in and do some supportive home care, some light cleaning, some shopping, some housekeeping, or just be the watchful eyes, you know, to make sure that nothing is amiss, right? So it might be as little as 10 hours a week. It could, and then there are people who need round the clock support. They have complex health issues, but they want to live at home. They don't want to be at a nursing home or an institution. So those are the kinds of folks. But then there are also people who support people with disabilities on their jobs, who help them find jobs and then support them to be successful on the job. There are people who do, you know, a few little medical things or maybe just hygiene things. So it's a very wide range of folks involved in the caregiving situation.
Thank you for pointing that out, because I didn't want listeners to be confused when it comes to what is a caregiver and what are those roles. One may think that it only really is something that is a problem in the hospitals or something that is a problem if you're dealing with medically frail or, you know, people that need a lot of care. But it is a large range and across the board. You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and we've been talking with Beth Swedeen from the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities about the paid caregiver crisis. When we come back, we're going to talk more about how we can address this problem going forward.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weichert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Homeownership is a big deal, and so is taking the leap into the buying or selling of any property. The Weichert team gets that, and our job is to help you navigate the sales process and provide smooth sailing. You have questions? We have answers. You have worries? We have solutions. Let us open the door to your future home. Weichert Realtors Lake Point, 608-721-8002, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weichert-lakepoint.com.
Attention all DIYers! When you're looking for the best products and supplies to take your landscaping to the next level, look no further than Choice Landscaping. For 30 years, Choice Landscaping and Garden Center continues to deliver professional and personal service within a 10-mile radius of Cudahy, but welcomes customers from all over. Whether it's spring, summer, fall, or winter, his Garden Center is open year-round to cover all your needs. So don't wait. For more info, visit ChoiceLandscaping.com. Choice Landscaping. Cover all your needs.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Scattered rain showers likely today, otherwise cloudy skies. Daytime highs approaching 64. Winds out of the southeast, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows level off around 58. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 79. Mainly sunny skies and calm. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 52 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Lynn, when you share your sentiment, and you've done that on some of your posts, that the concept of a work-life balance is a myth, it seems as if you are speaking to that same sense of how unsustainable this experience of being a working family caregiver can be. Can you tell us a little bit more about why you have that perspective or your experience from it?
Yes, it's why I use the roller coaster metaphor. It's the roller coaster really exemplifies what it feels like. Because you're either like soaring down this like deep, 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 you know, hill, or you're kind of inching up a little bit and maybe you're at the top and you can get a really beautiful view. So there, to me, there is no work-life balance. And one of the reasons that I believe that is because business is personal. And it's not separate from who we are as human beings. So when we have jobs to show up at, it's important to be treating the whole human, the whole human.
And okay, so you're saying, say that to me again about business, especially having been more of a teacher and not quite having the business background. Can you speak? Can you help me out there a little bit, please?
Well, for me, being a lifelong entrepreneur, business has always been personal. Right. I grew up in a family business. We didn't have a turnoff switch. There was no way to turn off business. We were always talking about what happened during the day in the business.
What type of business was it again, Lynn?
Well, one part of it was roller skating rinks in the Detroit area.
Cool.
So it was kind of interesting. I still roller skate to this day, only now I'm roller skating at the beach instead of inside a roller rink in Detroit.
Nice.
So that was one. My grandfather immigrated here from Baghdad, Iraq, and he started up this chain of roller skating rinks in the Detroit area. And so that was part of it. The other part was that my dad was an attorney. And so he did own a roller skating rink as well, but also I was a legal secretary. And so there was always talk about business, business, business. It's never seemed to end. And that's why I say, work-life balance? Forget that. It doesn't exist. It's a myth. So I think many people are trying to attain a balance in their lives. And sometimes, especially when you're starting a business, it's just all uphill and it's risky and it's scary. It's just like that cancer journey or that any other caregiving journey at home, it's risky. It seems like it's all uphill. It seems like you're never going to get a rest or a break, much less have a good night's sleep. So in that sense, it really is a myth to me. And so that's why I relaxed about it over these years. And that's part of my personal transformation, is just to chill out and not put expectations on myself that are unrealistic. So when we have a break, when we have a rest, when we have the good times and the upswings, great. We enjoy that. And then when we have like go, 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 produce, whether it's in business or in the at home caregiving, it's all the same. It's just, you know, what I always like to say now is that we need to manage our energy much more than we need to manage our time.
Ooh, I like that, especially as someone who just today was saying that one of my biggest challenges is time management. And it is right. Well, oh, wow. Okay, wait, let's dig into that for a second. Right, because managing time, I can't control time. And so I don't manage it very well. So tell me what you mean by managing energy instead.
So time is finite. We can't, like you said, we can't control it. Energy is something that flows, right? It comes and it goes. And everything is energy. Money is energy. You know, relationships are energy. Everything is energy. So what happens, and what has happened with me in the last many years, especially since my mom died, is that even at work, I've learned to manage my energy much more than my time, because I'll admit it right here in front of all of you, I am a recovering workaholic. And mm-hmm. So as an entrepreneur, and I mentioned this earlier, that we, you know, we always would talk about business even at home at the end of the day. And that never stopped. So now it's much more about holding my energy in chunks, kind of like, that's not really a great way to say it, but.
No, I'm following you. And I'm also having this weird life transition myself from going from being a classroom teacher to starting this business. And I was sharing with some friends, I mean, a classroom teacher, my time was controlled by bells. I mean, it was so structured. There were literally bells telling me where to be and when to be there. And now it's exactly what you're describing, where life and work and caregiving and fun and personal, you know, exploration is so intertwined. And so I get what you mean by this chunks of energy. Where am I going to put that energy? And how am I going to direct that energy? Because time is not really my friend.
Yes. And also building in the pause and building in a less structured day sometimes. So I used to have like Mondays, I left Mondays without scheduling too much. And that way I knew on Mondays I could schedule a coffee or a walk with a friend, for example.
Wow. Exactly.
So it's managing the energy has really come in handy, and I'm not always perfect at it. And it's, you know, a constant practice. It really is a practice, and just that.
Well, great. I really am appreciative that you've reminded me of that. Before we pivot to adding Angela Howard and her work on changing the culture of workplaces, can you tell listeners one more time where they can go learn more about you and where to order your book?
Yes, it's lynnabatejohnsonbook.com. And that's LYNNABATEJOHNSONBOOK.
All right. Perfect. We'll be back in just a moment to start talking about possible solutions to creating some of these caregiver-friendly workplaces.
On air at 92.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
CBS News Special Report. King Charles has been crowned. Royal watchers gathered early to witness today's coronation.
We've been really looking forward to this for kind of really a number of years. Obviously, we've known it's on the card for
for some time. It was inevitable it was going to happen. So to be part of history and to experience it is a really, really exciting prospect.
CBS's Holly Williams reports it's been a long time since Britain has seen such an event.
The last time this country witnessed a coronation, back in 1953, the late Queen's coronation, that was the first time a coronation had been broadcast live on television.
Not everyone is into the coronation.
Not my king! Not my king!
Protesters gathered in Trafalgar Square hours before the coronation was to begin. They were with a group called Republic. That group campaigns for elected heads of state, not monarchies. CBS News Special Report. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Are record high energy and water costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive. While you may not ask for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to be without heat, water, or power. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help. That's www.heat.help.
2020. That's the vision at Holtebeck Eye Center. At Holtebeck Eye Center, they provide the most professional and compassionate care in the industry, from your first call to follow-up after treatment. If you've been dreaming of seeing clearly again, Dr. Holtebeck can restore your vision with expert care and attention to issues like cataracts, glaucoma, and diabetes complications. You'll not only see better, but feel better too. Don't wait any longer. Improve your eyesight. Visit Holtebeck.com. That's Holtebeck.com.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
We're all familiar with the three what's. What is it? What can it do for me? And what does it cost? At Country Financial, we can help you find the answers with insurance coverage to help protect what's most important to you, all at a price you can afford. So while you're juggling work and kids while trying to keep an eye on your future, we'll make sure we're one of the first ones there when you need us most. What should you do next? Call Matthew Holbrook, your Country Financial representative, at 414-332-2137 and chat about your insurance needs today. 414-332-2137.
Every family has one. The Smother.
Holy why!
Hi, Erica.
This is my daughter. I baked her in my tummy.
The Goldbergs every weeknight.
Weeknights at 5 and 5:30 on My24.
With a house full of women, it's every man for himself.
What is it about hanging bras in the bathroom like Christmas ornaments? If I don't hang my underwear in the bathroom, that would be terrifying.
Tim Allen is the last man standing.
Weeknights at 6 and 6:30 on My24.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. We were just speaking with Lynn Abati Johnson, the author of Out of Love, about the caregiving experience she had with her mother and her journey of working while being a caregiver. You can find her book on her website, www.lynnabatijohnsonbook.com, and on Amazon. I'm excited to welcome our next guest, who Liza found going down one of her many rabbit holes in the research she does for our show. We have with us Angela Howard from Call of Culture. She's an organizational psychologist, speaker, and culture impact strategist with a mission to create more human-centric workplaces that send happier and more fulfilled humans home to further enrich their communities and society. Angela, please tell us a little bit about yourself. Welcome. And what's going on over at Call for Culture?
Hi, Kristen. Hi, Lynn. It's so good to be with you both. And thank you for having me on. I am Angela Howard. Thank you for the introduction. I'm the CEO at Call for Culture. We work with organizations to create safer, more inclusive workplace cultures. And we do that through a process which is really centered on organizational psychology and how humans actually operate in the workplace. And Lynn, I loved what you said earlier about we bring our whole selves to work. So I think we've created some mismatched paradigms when it comes to the workplace around what we're expecting people to be and do. And so we're trying to bring more humanity back into the workplace.
Okay. And so I had stated in your introduction that your mission is to create this more human-centric workplace. And I know that's what caught Liza's attention. And so I think you just described exactly what a human-centric workplace is, but is there any more you want to add to that?
Yeah, it's really around designing spaces and organizations and businesses around people. And what we know is organizations that have been able to operationalize their culture in a way that actually fits the people who are doing the work, they get better results, more productivity, less turnover, more innovation, less safety incidents. So we know it's not only good for people and humanity, but also for the bottom line.
Okay, I want to talk about the bottom line in a few minutes, but before we do that, I want to make the connection to family caregivers, since this is a family caregiver show. And it kind of seems sort of obvious to me, but I'm not sure if it's obvious to you or to an employer that having a more human-centric workplace might mean it's a little bit easier for me to be at work as a family caregiver. So before you dive into the whole business piece, do you have any personal experience as a family caregiver?
Yes. Yes. So my father passed away back in May of 2015. So Lynn, I kind of clutched my heart when you told your story because it certainly hits home for me. Before I started my business, I worked in corporate America. And, you know, so Lynn, I also understand the environment that you were in. But I was lucky enough to work in an organization where my leadership created a flexible and safe environment for me to be able to express what I needed at that time.
That had to be fairly unique.
That felt unique to me, yes. Okay. And talking to other people and understanding how workplace culture works traditionally, this is also the reason why I started my business, because this was a unique experience and it shouldn't be. And in my case, when I was bringing that forward to my leader, I had just started the job. So no reason for them to be like, take all the time you need, but that's exactly what they did. They said, take all the time you need. You've been here a week, but we trust you. And that piece increased my loyalty by a millionfold in the future. And I added great value for that company. So that's my personal story.
That's great. And how do you take that now into the work you're doing to bring not just a caregiver-friendly workplace and a human-centric workplace, but one where it's actually being implemented?
Yes. So I think culture, inclusion, all these are buzzwords that we say a lot, right? And so I think it's really important for organizations to match their words with their actions. If we're going to say we're going to be an inclusive workplace, that also has to include the human experience and a diverse set of life events, which includes caregiving. And really it all comes down to leadership. And I think what I find most working with organizations is oftentimes there is a mismatch between what we say, we care about people, we wanna be inclusive, this is a people-centered work environment, and then what actually gets done within the organization and how the leaders show up and provide space, a safe space for their people. And so that's what we're trying to combat, for lack of better words.
Okay. And so how does that turn? I'm really appreciative that you are ready to take some of the buzzwords out of the conversation, right? Because I think that's probably why I was tripping over some of them in your introduction, is they are all over the place. And I'm not sure as a result, they have the meaning they need anymore. You know, our DEI work, I just sometimes kind of, you know, sort of ponder, well, what do you mean by DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, when it doesn't really necessarily look like it's diversity, equity, and inclusion from a whole human standpoint? It might be from a gender standpoint, it might be from a racial ethnic standpoint, but it might not necessarily really look at the whole human being. And so I love that you're recognizing that and you're saying we're going to You didn't say combat, did you? You said address.
I did say combat.
You did some. Okay, good. I was like, is it just me who wants to go out and fight?
We're challenging.
All right, perfect.
Here.
And so tell me on a real specific way, if I was an employer, how would you be helping me combat that disconnect of what I might be talking about and wanting, but not actually being able to create in my work environment?
So the first step is defining it and naming it. So we work with organizations to pick apart those buzzwords. We look at their value system. And in some organizations, that value system may look like core values or words on a wall or beautiful words on a website. But we go in there and we work with the team to define and align behaviors around what it looks like and what it doesn't look like. And that's part of the secret sauce, because that is going to allow us to create a roadmap in understanding where we actually are versus where we want to go. So we have an assessment that we use that actually measures that. And that assessment considers everyone in the organization. So if supporting caregivers or supporting our employees through life events is important, we're going to ask the right questions to get at that and understand what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong. And then we work with the organization to create a roadmap and we measure along the way.
Excellent. So let's first start with, if I was an employer right now and I was listening to this show, or I was married to an employer or a daughter of an employer who I know needed your services, how could they find you?
So you can find us at callforculture.com.
Okay.
That's the best way to get to us.
Excellent. And then they bring you in and you start talking about the kind of services and packages and assessments and that type of stuff.
Yep. All of our signature package is a long-term partnership. So my team works with the organization from 12 to 18 months. Culture change is not easy and it's not fast. So we're really kind of a partner and a guide along the way.
Okay. And are you finding that organizations that do hire you and partner with you are really trying to look at the whole human experience, or are they bringing you in to kind of meet some of their DEI data and their DEI goals? You know, is there true authenticity behind this?
It's a great question. So sometimes yes, and sometimes no. And we've been doing a very good job at filtering some of those, because we prefer not to work with the organizations who are just looking to check a box. And we do what we can up front to be clear that we're going to be your guide, but this is a commitment that has to be sustainable.
Okay.
You all will have to do the work.
I like it.
You're there to guide.
Exactly. And so don't invest in us, right? If you're not going to actually follow the roadmap we're going to create together. That's beautiful. Now I want to pivot to, okay, now I'm sitting in the audience, which most of us as family caregivers are probably not the leaders and the decision makers because of the life journeys we've been on. And so what can I do as a family caregiver at my workplace where I know they need your perspective, right? And so I can maybe suggest that they bring you in, but what are some other things that I could do to encourage, ask for, direct the workplace from the bottom up, right? From the employees to kind of demand, or, you know, if we're going to fight the fight, ladies, right? We're going to combat, but we're also going to demand some of this change. So what's some advice you want to give caregivers?
Yeah. So I do think a lot of culture change is a groundswell. So all of you who are listening, there is a great opportunity for you to be leaders. Leadership is a capability. It's not a role within an organization. So I think you could use some of your leadership skills to talk to your leader, to integrate in with any initiatives that are already happening, whether it's under the umbrella of DE&I or culture transformation or improvement, continuous improvement. Attach this to something that's already happening in the organization and bring this as an opportunity to amplify voices around your community and what you're passionate about.
That's beautiful. That's really good. I mean, there's something you said that I want to kind of go back to. You said, what was the first sentence that you said again about?
Ooh.
I know. Sorry. That's probably not the best way to ask a question, but you were saying essentially a take the experience and an initiative and do what with them?
So a great way to create change and movement is to integrate what's already happening. So if there is a strategic initiative at the organization around DE&I or people first or people over profit or culture transformation. Start talking to the people who are running those programs so you can really amplify your voice as a caregiver and provide that perspective, and also maybe starting to talking to other caregivers around the organization and understanding where the opportunities are, and being the integrator of all that information to roll up to the decision makers.
Excellent. Okay. That's exactly what I was looking for, is that piece that gives me some empowerment, right? Mm. That I actually can find the right way, because I do think a common message that I've heard from people, and Lynn brought it up in some of the posts that she's had, that it's scary and intimidating to tell your employer that you're a family caregiver. I mean, and as you said earlier, your experience was pretty unique, that mm-hmm. 1 week into the job, they said, take all the time you need. I don't know, you're the exception to the norm from many of the yes. stories that I've listened to. And I'm glad you had that. And it's not to make you feel guilty or, you know, special for it. It's just recognizing that since that isn't the norm, what we can do as family caregivers is find where we have those pathways, take advantage yes. of that. And really, I, like you said, partner it and connect it to what is trying to be implemented in some of the strategies. Okay. What kind of pushback do you get from organizations and employers, though? And how do you respond to that? Because I'm sure they're out there.
Oh, yes. I think a lot of times what we find is organizations hire us because they want to send a message to their people and say, see, this is what you need to do differently. 100% of the time, it's leadership.
Mm.
99.9% of the time, it's leadership.
Okay.
So usually it's some mismatch of what we say and what we do when it comes to leadership, leadership behavior, in groups and out groups when it comes to leadership. So the pushback happens when the mirror is in their face, to be honest. And you're hearing things like, you know, this is not about money, or it's not about a paycheck. I want to work for an organization where I feel like I belong and I'm safe here. Mm-hmm. And the leaders who are running this company do not make me feel that way. So we spend a lot of time with leadership and role modeling, and also accountability. Accountability is really important in making sure that you're driving that value system that you've developed as an organization.
And how can you get the leadership to do that, though?
Well, oftentimes we do it with data. So thankfully, we have an assessment that really makes it very clear where the issues are. And we work directly with the top level leader in the organization, the CEO, the founder. We don't do any work that's buffered. So we always require that CEO, that top level leader, is a part of the conversation. And that ensures that the commitment gets impacted all the way throughout the organization. Accountability takes time, but leadership development is also an important tool to send the message of what's important, and then hold people, coach people, and then hold people accountable to that.
Excellent. Well, when we return, we're going to talk a little bit more with both of these experienced and intelligent women to help craft an explanation for why everyone should care about creating these caregiver-friendly work environments and this work-centric approach.
Feeling down, anxious, depressed? You are not alone. According to the World Health Organization, approximately 280 million people have depression, but the majority never receive treatment. At WellPoint Care Network, they can help. Their outpatient clinic staff are both qualified and caring, not to mention highly trained in partnering with you on your healing journey. Make an appointment today at wellpointcare.org. They serve all ages, infants, children, and adults. Both in-person and virtual services are available. Learn more at wellpointcare.org.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
Are you an experienced industrial painter, drywall finisher, or want to be? Do you want more than a job, but a high-paying career where your interests are well-represented, ensuring a safe work environment? The International Union of Painters and Allied Trades of District Council 7 wants you. Bring your knowledge or ask about paid training. Learn more now. Call Tom Coyne, 262-488-4839, 262-488-4839, or go to the union's website, iupatdc7.com.
Weather brought to you by Next Tech Glass, your hometown experts for auto, residential, and commercial glass repair and replacement. Please visit nexttechglass.com. That's nexttechglass.com.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies today with a chance for scattered showers. Daytime highs approaching 64. Winds out of the southeast, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies again tonight. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows around 58. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 79. Mainly sunny skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 52 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
You've been listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show with Kristen Voss and myself, Liza Hellenbrand. We've been talking with Beth Swedeen from the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities.
The board is offering to businesses grant funds and technical assistance so that they can tap into new talent and learn best practices for finding, hiring, and supporting workers with intellectual developmental disabilities. Grantees will receive technical assistance from a BPDD, so that's the board, project consultant to plan and implement their hiring initiative. Deadline to apply for these grants is Wednesday, May 24th at 5 p.m. Beth, I want to give you an opportunity before we say goodnight to you tonight to just give a little plug for that grant or give a little bit more context for it.
Well, yeah, sure. We hear from businesses all the time that they would love to hire more people with disabilities, but they don't quite know maybe how to support them, or they don't want, you know, an outside agency coming in to provide that support that none of the other colleagues know. So we have this model called Partners with Business that helps businesses figure out the strategies to hire their own workers with disabilities and then how to support them naturally on the job so that like an outside job coach doesn't need to come in. And it's been really exciting to see businesses experience that success and realize what great workers people with disabilities can be and how little actual accommodation really needs to happen. And then there's some other strategies for funding it as well. And any business that applies and would be interested would get access to that information as well.
And then there's one more grant that I want to make sure that we mention, and those are for those who are involved with supported employment service providers. The board is granting funds for technical assistance to take new or creative approaches to reduce the need for job coaching. And that deadline is Friday, May 26th at 5 p.m. So Beth, I just want to ask, is there anything that you want to add to that one? And then where can people go to learn more or to apply for these grants?
Yeah, that is for, like you said, vocational agencies that are in the business of supporting people with disabilities on the job. And as we mentioned, the caregiver crisis, there just aren't enough staff for these folks to hire, right? So they're using different strategies to support their clients that don't cost as much because they are not, they don't cost as much, but they don't require as many staff is the aim for that. And it's especially helpful in rural areas where job coaches may drive like 20 miles, you know, to support somebody, and then they have to drive another 25 to their next client. So we're really encouraging people to apply for those. And yeah, all of our stuff is on our website, which is WI-BPDD, Board for People with Developmental Disabilities.org. Or you can just Google us, Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities, and we'll pop right up for you.
And let's say the name of those two grants one more time, Beth.
Yeah, they're both called Partners with Business. One is for private businesses, for-profit businesses, and other are for the provider agencies that already are working with clients who have disabilities.
Yeah. And I wanted to share the one with the employment agencies, because there may not be a lot of people from, you know, DVR or vocational agencies listening to the program tonight, but there are caregivers that have people supported by job coaches. So if they know about this, they can speak to the employer, they can speak to the job coach and see how they can make this transition.
Wonderful. Beth, thank you so much for the work that you do and taking time out of your evening to be with us. As you know, I've really seen you as this shining star, as I said last segment, and it's just been wonderful to be able to have you on the show and highlight your work and all that the board is doing. So thanks so much.
Thanks to both of you. It's a great program. Really appreciate your attention.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
And we have a group of four amazing UW student volunteers helping us this semester put together our gift boxes for caregivers, among many other things. So it is with great delight that we get to send one of these off in the mail tomorrow. And Kristen, I'm going to let you share Jenna's story.
All right. Jenna sent in an empowering story about her mother, Pam. She wrote, "My mom is amazing. 2 weeks after they moved into their new house, my grandpa had his first health incident that brought him into their home much sooner than they even planned. Lots of surgeries in Green Bay and Milwaukee and wound care, along with a healthy diet, which 3 years later made him healthier than when he lived alone. Taking INR at home, drug refills, everything. I help when I can, but I have school and work. My mom should have been a nurse. She researches everything on grandpa and does what is best." She goes on to even write, "During all of this, my mom runs and works at her business full-time and the household along with my grandpa. She gets overwhelmed and tired, but for 5.5 years, at 88, grandpa is healthier than he was on his own. He has some dementia issues, so that adds a little more. My dad works till 6 to 7 p.m., and he helps when he can, but my mom is the lead person for his dad." Jenna continues to write, "Mom has had no girlfriends or social life since 6 years ago because she puts grandpa and everything else first. Pam, you are amazing, and we can't wait to put your gift box in the mail with love. And if anyone else out there wants to nominate a special caregiver in your life, look for us on our website, www.empoweredcaregivercommunity.com.
Yes. And next week, we are going to be speaking with Love Inc. And I know, Kristen, that one is on your to-do list.
Yep.
Do you know what specifically they're going to be sharing with us, or are we keeping it a surprise?
No, it's really exciting. Love Inc., we've had on the executive director, but they are an organization that really provides support for adults with disabilities so that they can do more things in the community. And they're this kind of paid support that we've been talking about tonight. One of the primary programs that we're going to be hearing about is the Bridge Builder program. And Bridge Builders are people that are paid to help people with disabilities, young adults with disabilities, build bridges in their communities at things that they're interested in. So in Nicole's case, they've been going to On Board to play different board games. They've gone to the library. They help find different people that are peers that they can do social activities with. So we're going to be hearing about the Bridge Builder program and a few of the other initiatives that Love Inc. is taking around the state to support people outside of Dane County.
That Love Inc. just does so many amazing things. Yeah. But I just want to circle back tonight in this paid caregiver crisis. What is your biggest takeaway?
Wow. Really understanding how huge Medicaid is and how backwards our state is, that we are one of the few that's not taking that expansion. And I just find that criminal.
Not that I want to throw Mississippi under the bus, but come on.
I know. Exactly.
I've heard that. We're Mississippi.
Really? I haven't heard that one yet, but now I can see where it fits. I mean, it is kind of scary. I never thought we'd be. And again, you're right. We shouldn't throw Mississippi or Louisiana under the bus, but I never thought we would be ranked behind
stuff. Given that we're a leader in this, right? You know, and we're a leader, I think, in the country in a lot of do good ways. Mm-hmm. So it's disheartening to know that we are trailing behind and in a quote last.
But we can do this. And yes. We know that caregiving can be overwhelming and exhausting. So that's why we want to end each show with our positive note. You got this. And together we are stronger. So stay connected to the empowered caregiver community. Good night, everybody.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weikert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
Have fun on the lake this summer. Treat yourself and find the watercraft you want at Action Boathouse Showroom just south of 59 on 164 in Waukesha. Check out the fun and versatile Sea-Doo Switch with its powerful Rotex Gen engine. Action Boathouse Showroom also has a selection of luxury fishing boats or pontoon boats from seven top USA manufacturers. The team at Action Boathouse Showroom is excited to help you launch into the sun this season and onto the lake. Action Boathouse Showroom, just north of 59 on 164.